Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Let's turn to the Word of God, chapter 17 of the Gospel of St. Luke, verse number 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. And this is my text. Remember Lot's wife. You may be seated. My subject is faith faces forward. You've heard the cliche, I'm looking forward to that. Well, that's not simply a cliche to fill time. It should be an attitude. I'm looking forward to something in my life. And the devil does not really matter to him whether you die in the awful cataclysmic attack on Sodom or whether you simply are polarized and become a pillar of salt. The only thing that matters to him is that you do not enter into the abundance that God has promised you. And so Jesus, in this major teaching, suddenly erupts with just one simple statement, three words. Remember Lot's wife. That was significant, perhaps, in Jewish history, but it was significant in the mind of Christ. It's one of the most dramatic warnings that Jesus ever offered his followers. Remember Lot's wife. What is there to remember about her? That she looked back. Just as long as you do not escape to the abundant life that God has promised for you, Satan counts it a victory. Because there is before you an abundant life, now and eternally. And so the devil has one objective, and that is to keep you from getting there. And one of his most profound efforts is to simply cause you to look back. Because if you look back, you will not do what God has called you to do. When you watch those football players, it just depends on where they're looking. I watched a guy make a tremendous pass and a touchdown. And the guy was there covering him. When he was there, he just wasn't looking the right way. You got to be looking the right way. There's two things that motivate people to look back. Two motivations. One is nostalgia. They simply want to savor the past. Some people have had a great life and great things happen, and maybe they don't feel like today that they are experiencing the same joy, the same fulfillment they did in the past. And so their answer to that is to look back. Friend, I can tell you, if you're not satisfied today, the answer is not to look back. Because to look back will not make things better. They will simply polarize you and make things worse. The other motivation for looking back is the one of regret. I just wish I could do it all over again. I wish I could fix that. Well, you can't go back and fix it. You have to realize that you can begin again today and change the ending, but you can't begin today and change the beginning. You can change your ending by looking forward. What is before you? Mrs. Lot's greatest sin? Her love of the past was greater than her faith for the future. Her love of the past was greater than their faith for the future. Love for the past is based on the emotions of the flesh, what your flesh feels. Faith for the future is based on the promise of God's word. Some reasons why she looked back. She loved this present world. The Bible teaches us that love of this present world is actually enmity toward the Spirit of God and the things of God. You can't love both. There are some people that are just so in love with this world. You ever wonder why some people have a time praying, time coming to church? It's because they're so in love with this world. I remember when I first came to San Antonio talking to a couple of Pentecostal people. It was a woman and her son, actually, and she was a mature woman. He was a teenage son, and they were talking about the rapture. When Christ comes back for his church, And the mother said, and as the parents are, so go the children. She said, I just hope Jesus don't come back this year. Because she said, my husband's building me a new house. And she said, this year we're going to move into that new house. And I don't want Jesus to come back before I spend a few months in that house. And the boy piped up and he said, and my daddy's buying me a motorcycle on my birthday. And I don't want Jesus to come before I get my motorcycle. Well, that's pretty juvenile and pretty superficial. But I think it's an indicator of how a lot of people are spiritually. They're in love with this world. And as this woman was warned of God, she was warned of God that Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed. And he said, whatever you do, don't look back. And the Bible said that God was so strong about rescuing them that the angels literally took her and Lot and the two daughters by the hand to deliver them. But she just couldn't resist that temptation because she had a love for Sodom that she just had to look back. And when she looked back, it was the end of her future. And the Bible tells us that. You know, in the Old Testament, when the people were delivered from slavery, and sometimes it doesn't matter where you came from. It's just the fact that that's where I used to be. That's just my childhood. That's what it is. When they were delivered from slavery, they got out there, and it wasn't very long until they began to complain about all things, about manna. They said, all we eat is manna. We want some quail. And they actually said, we wish we were back in slavery. We wish we were back in Egypt. There's something wrong with people that come out, but their roots are still in Egypt. They still love the things of the world. Friend, it will destroy your future in the kingdom of God if you do not avert your attention and your looking and your eyesight away from the things past and look to the future that God has for you. And so, number one, she loved the past world. Number two, the reason she looked back, she had family there. You say, well, her daughters were with us, but her son-in-laws. Her son, you say, oh, I wouldn't care about my son-in-law. Oh, but everybody's not like that. Some people have good in-laws. Well, that didn't go over very well. I thought there'd be a lot of people shout amen there. Sometimes you just need to act like it so people can't tell how things are going in your family. But she left her two son-in-laws behind because the Bible said when they were told of the impending judgment of God on Sodom, the Bible said it seemed like somebody was just mocking, just making fun. They said, this is crazy. Just like the world today, they don't believe Christ is coming back. The world believes that no matter how much trouble there is in the world, that this world is going to go forever. But the Bible teaches us there is an end. And so they were warned in Sodom that there is an end. But the two son-in-laws said, no, that's crazy. That's preposterous. And so perhaps she looked back because she had family. You know, at some point in time, you have to choose between God and your family many times. You've got to love God more than you do your family. That's difficult for some people to do that, to put God first above everything and everybody. I'm reminded when I was studying this and thinking about this, I was reminded of something that happened when we were in the other building across the street. And it was a whole series of events. But I was coming in from my ranch I had up in, at that time it was near San Marcos. And I was coming in. I always come through New Braunfels. And there used to be a really good little Chinese place there to eat. And I stopped to eat at that Chinese restaurant by myself. And I had on my blue jeans. And I'd been out there riding some colts. I remember I still had my boots, my spurs, the whole deal. And I came in and I was eating my Chinese food. And I looked over and there was an elderly man and woman there. And he had a little cap on it. It said Mattoon, Illinois. That happens to be the town I was born in. This guy just looked really grouchy. This is an old grouchy white guy. Of course, it doesn't really matter what color you are. You can be grouchy in any color. But I just, as I went by him, I said, who would wear a cap with Mattoon, Illinois? That old man bristled up and he said, I would. You want to do something about it? Like he was going to whip me, and he was like 75, you know, and I was like 45 or something. And I said, I was born in Mattoon, Illinois, and he kind of bristled down. And so I got to talk to him a little bit, and he looked at my clothes and stuff, and he said, oh, you got horses? I said, yeah. He said, I'm a quarter horse judge. And that's the people that go around and judge these horse shows and whatever. And so we got to talking, and then we talked about baseball, and come to find out he'd been a coach in a minor league team, and he was just an interesting old fella. And so I got to know him and make his acquaintance, and I didn't tell him I was a pastor, and we didn't talk about the Lord, and we just hit it up, you know. And so one day I called him. He gave me his number. I said, hey, how about meeting me up at the Chinese restaurant again? And so he met me up there, and so we did that 3 or 4 times. And finally one day he said, is that all you do, just ranch? I said, no, I pastor a church. Oh, he said, you pastor a church. He said, huh. He said, I don't know about that. And he said, what about the horse? I said, well, we're having a horse sale at our ranch in a few days. Why don't you come out? So he came out to the horse sale. We just get to be closer and closer as friends. And one day he said, what time you have church up there? I told him, he said, I'm going to come up to your little old church here, see what's going on. So he got up and he just packed. That old building was just packed and stacked with people, you know. And, man, it was wild that Sunday. And I thought, blow that old white guy away. Next Sunday he was back. I was shocked. The next Sunday he was back. I preached, and my daddy was sitting in the second seat, and this old fellow was sitting in the back seat. And daddy just turned around, and he said, you want to go up there and get saved? And the old man said, I believe I do. Him and his wife joined hands and came up there and gave their heart to the Lord and were filled with God's Spirit. It was just an amazing deal. But that's just the beginning of the story. That afternoon, I got an amazing phone call. This woman said, is this Reverend Stephen? I said, it is. She said, I pastor a church in the state of Illinois. And she said, I was raised without any church background at all. But she said, I married a man. We got saved. We got filled with the Holy Spirit. And said, we began several years ago a charismatic church in this little town. And said, my mother and my daddy, particularly my daddy, disowned me. He would not speak to me, never had anything to do with me again, because he said I was a religious nut. And said he just called me today because he just got saved in your church today and got filled with the Spirit. But the point was, she had to choose God over her parents, but she eventually won her parents. And she kept in contact with me for years because they moved back to that little town in Illinois and became members of her daughter and her husband's church, and they would stay in contact with me. Of course, they're in heaven now. But the point is, you got to put God first. You want to win your family. You won't win your family by compromising. You'll win your family by putting God first. Many times I've had to choose God over some of my cousins or sisters or brothers or family or somebody in my family. But God is first in my life, greater than anybody. But perhaps that was what was the allurement that caused her to look back. We don't know that. The Bible teaches us that she also related to its citizenry. Now you have to realize the real predominant sin, no matter what the world wants to say, was homosexuality. Somebody got real mad because I said this before. I don't write the book. I simply repeat it. I have a tremendous love for the homosexual community like I do everybody. I've got a lot of friends I know that are wonderful people. But the point is, we're not preaching what is popular. We're not preaching what I think. It doesn't matter what I think. My opinion is not one bit more important than yours or vice versa. It's what God's Word says. So Sodom was destroyed because of the perversion of Sodom. And yet, this woman perhaps was not involved in it, but she had a real kindred spirit with the citizenry there. You know, there is a real warning in the Scripture that we are to hold ourselves aloof from those that are confined into the things that are perverted and against God. We're to love them, but we're not to embrace their lifestyle. And perhaps this was what it was. The next thing is, she doubted. This is the big one right here. You know, in fact, let me go back to this just a bit. The Bible said, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. You know, when I was a young kid, in our churches, we're very strong, stringent, legalistic churches. They preached against not only watching television, but having television. And now that same denomination said it's all right to have it. And I've always wondered why it was so bad to have it in the 60s when it was so mild, and now TB is so terrible, it's all right to have it now. I can't quite. It's kind of like Catholics eating meat all the time. You used to just have to eat fish on Friday. You know, all of our little man-made denomination, we can be so strong, but then all of a sudden we just change because we want to. It doesn't matter what a church says or a denomination says. It's what God has to say. But one of the real evils of television is that you rejoice and you watch and you entertain yourself by watching people do things that you wouldn't do in your own life. And it does have an effect on you. So the Bible said, rejoice not in iniquity. There's no indication that Lot's wife was involved in the sedition and the heresy and the perdition and the perversion of Sodom, but perhaps she entertained herself with it. We have to come out and be separate. The fifth thing is, this is the real deal right here, though. This is what caused her to look back. God had given them a message, and the message was that Sodom is going to be destroyed, but I'm going to rescue you, and I'm going to save you and bring you out and take you to a plane. And finally, Lot talked and said, let me go to Zoar first. Anyway, I'm going to rescue you and take you to another place and save you from all of this judgment. God gave Lot, his two daughters, and his wife a promise. But the real reason why she looked back is she simply doubted the future harvest of a new life. Friend, I can tell you that that is the number one motivation of a real Christian, is we believe that God has set before us a new life, and we are engaged in procuring that. And day by day, line by line, precept upon precept, the Bible teaches us that no man that putteth his hand to the plow and looketh back, Jesus said that, is worthy of the kingdom of God. Here was a woman that had a promise from God, but it was not enough to keep her looking back and yearning for what had been. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you that the greatest thing that you can do is latch on to the promises of Almighty God and say, no matter what the world is happening, saying, no matter what's happening in the world, no matter what the news is, no matter what the entertainment is, I am going to stake my future on the promises of Almighty God. And friend, I'm going to tell you, there are so many times it's not going to look like God's word is going to prevail, but I can promise you that God's word will never return void, that God's promises are yea and amen. And so the reason why we look forward while other people are looking back, because that's exactly what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to look back to 2018, either because it was bad and you have regret, or because it was good and you'd like to go back and do it again. Just look back. He don't care why you look back. Just look back. Because God wants you to look forward to what He has prepared for you. Because God has things prepared for you that you've never embraced, you've never experienced, you've never enjoyed, you've never known. But you've got to get up. I was behind a man in the checkout counter 3 days ago, and the lady said, Happy New Year to you. And he looked at her like he could just kill her. And he said, I hope it is. It better be better than this last year. But I can tell him, it ain't going to be no better than last year, because his problem is not his problem out there. His problem was right in here, in his mind. He wasn't looking forward to the next year. He was just saying, well, I'll tell you what, my life is miserable and it's going to stay miserable. But people that are filled with God's Spirit and people that learn the Word of God, they're always looking forward and saying, no matter what happens, tomorrow is going to be better. God's going to do something great in my life. And God has done so many great things in my life. If I were just to think in the flesh, I'd say, God can't outdo Himself. How can God do more the next few years of my life than He's done in my lifetime? Simply because He is God. God's not in a strain to bless you. God's not scratching his head thinking, what can I do to make their life better? God has a plan for you that totally exhausts anything that you can dream or you can think about. But the reason why we look forward is exactly opposite of Lot's wife, because things have changed in our life. And we know that God is in charge. And we know, praise God, that God said that he would do it. And we look forward because faith always looks forward. Number one, we believe in God's promises. It's so difficult for this flesh. That's the reason why you have to bring your flesh under control. You know, Pastor Brandon is talking about prayer and fasting and how we're going to accelerate that. And that is so needful in this time that we live in and what God is about to do. But do you know that neither prayer nor fasting change God? Because God doesn't need to be changed. What it does, it helps us to understand how God is going to work in our lives, and it crucifies our flesh. Because our flesh, if you allow it, it will doubt the promises of God, because flesh tends to look around at the things that are ingredients of what's going on in your life and come to that conclusion. But when you look forward to God because you believe the promises of God, it doesn't matter. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It doesn't matter what you see. You just know God's word is true. And so while other people are looking back, you said, I'm looking forward. 2019 is going to be the greatest year of my life. I look forward. And what motivates that? Because I believe the promises of God. And I'm like Abraham. I stagger not at the promise of God through unbelief. But I am strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that that which he has promised, he is able also to perform. I believe God is God all by himself. And when you search this word, you find that it is packed full of exceeding great and precious promises to his people, and not just the people of the past, but the people of this present age, and that is me. So I look forward to see what God is going to do, because it's going to be greater than anything I've ever seen. I'm going to see more miracles, more signs, more wonders, more miracles, a greatest harvest, praise God, and there ever before me the promise of God, that God is going to send me a tremendous outpouring of his blessing. That is the will of God. You got to get up in the morning saying, God's going to bless me today. This is going to be a great day for me. God is going to reveal things to me. God is going to show up and do things in my life. There are things that happen in my life that I can't explain. You just have to say, well, God did that. God, there was no reason for that man to make that decision, but God did that. God just showed up and did that. I am a tremendous believer that God is on my side, that God not only loves me, but God likes me, that God likes to spend time with me, that God likes to display his glory in my midst, that God likes to show himself strong. I don't doubt the promises of God. I believe they're amazing. I believe they're supernatural. I believe they're miraculous. And I believe they are yet to be revealed and unveiled before us. And I believe 2019 is going to be shocking, even to the most faith-filled person among us. God has got something you've never seen, and praise God, while other people are looking back. You see, I know just a lot of great Christian people, but a lot of people I know are my age, and some of them older. And you know what their big problem is? You know, every generation has its own opportunities and its own liabilities. And their great liability is they want to talk about the way it. There's a woman, her husband has died, and I used to preach for him, and she just stays on Facebook all the time. And it's all about how great it used to be. I wished we could get back to this. I wished we get back to the old hymns. I wished we get back to that. Friend, we ain't never going back. And if you're looking back, you're looking back to a place that no longer exists, and it robs you of the potential that is before you. Friend, you got to quit looking back and saying, oh, I lost that opportunity. You know, the Bible, I love this. The Bible said that God will restore the years. That means lost opportunities will now be fulfilled in your future, but they won't be if you're looking back. You've got to be looking future and looking ahead and saying, what is God about to do? What is God showing me? What door is God opening for me? Praise God, because I believe God's promises are yea and amen. And I believe God's going to bless me. I believe God is going to use me. I believe God is going to reveal to me. I believe God's going to open doors for me that I've never known. Can you give God praise? And so the reasons why we look forward is, number one, we believe God's promise. Number two, we believe in the recompense of God's reward. The Bible said in Hebrews 12:26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Ladies and gentlemen, I do my best to be faithful to the Lord. And I have tremendous faith in the recompense of reward. What does that mean? That means that God is going to reward us for our faithfulness. There are some people in this building that have been faithful to the Lord, and for a while. It's been a long while, some of you. Some of you have had to give up friends to be faithful to God. Some of you have had to give up and sacrifice situations because of your faithfulness to God. Some of you have chosen God rather than family. But friend, do you have faith in the recompense or reward? I do have. And so I'm not looking back with regret and saying, well, I should have done this. I could have done this. Maybe there was a mistake I made. Oh, you know that line in Becky's song, was there a road I should have taken? But praise God, I still have a future. I'm not going to worry about a road I should have taken or something I could have done or something I should have acted on, because my faith lies in my future in Almighty God, and I'm looking forward to everything I've got, and I'm saying, thank God, there's a reason why you kept me alive. Many people in this building have had near-death experiences, either on the highway or through illness. Something has happened to you. Do you ever just say, why did God reach down and rescue me? Because he did. Some of you ought to be dead. Some of you, the doctors told you you wasn't going to recover. Some of you have been in car wrecks and near accidents that threatened your life. Some of you have had guns pulled on you, knives pulled on you, all kinds of reasons why you shouldn't be here. You got to ask yourself, why did God spare me? It's because you have got a future and a place in God's future, and you need to quit looking back and quit saying, oh, I wish my marriage had worked out. It didn't work out, honey. Move on. There's a new day. Praise God. It's a new hour. God's brought you to the kingdom of God for such a time as this, and faith always looks forward. You got to get up and say, I got no regrets. The truth is, I'm still in the Lord's hand, and his future is still before me, and I'm going to rise up and be strong and do more than I've ever done in my life, because I believe in the recompense of reward. I never gave up my praise. I never quit praying. I never quit coming to church. I never quit saying Jesus is my Lord. I never quit giving. I never quit witnessing. Friend, some of you have got a great recompense of reward. Your blessings have been stacking up. The Bible said it this way, there is a memorial in heaven for you, talking about Cornelius, and praise God, God's about to unleash that blessing to you in 2019. It's going to be the year of the recompense or reward in your life. And the devil said, I know I could not get him back into Sodom, but maybe I can freeze him in place. Maybe I can cause him to be a pillar of salt. And just look back. The devil don't care whether you die in Sodom or whether you die on the side of the mountain, just as long as you don't get to the abundant life that God has promised you. Somebody said, why did God turn into a pillar of salt? And I've thought about that and studied that a lot. And I just studied the other day, and this is not in the Bible. It's Bible history. But the Bible said those two angels that came to rescue them, that she cooked a meal for them. And Bible history says that she had such an empathy toward Sodom that she belied the trust of those two angels, and as she was cooking the meal, she said, I've run out of salt, let me run next door and get some. And when she went next door, she told them about the two angels were there. And if you read the story very carefully, the homosexuals came and tried to force the angels into relationship with them, but she belied their confidence by acting like she was going for salt to cook with. This is just Bible history. And so that's the reason why she was turned into a pillar of salt as opposed to something else. But the point is, no matter why, the point is she looked back instead of looking forward. Are you going to say, my best is behind me? Are you going to say, God's done so much for me? You know, people get real spiritual and say, well, if God don't ever do anything for me, he's done enough. That's ignorance. Because God wants to do something for you. Parents do not feel hurt because their children don't need them when they get older. Or they don't feel because they do need them. But they want them to need them. They want them to come and see them. God's not trying to divorce himself responsible, his responsibility for you. When God made you, he achieved and accepted responsibility for you. And so now God said, I want to give to my children. I want to bless my children. And so there is a great recompense of reward. You need to get up in the morning and expect it. Said, praise God, this is the day my check is coming in the mail. This is the day my promotion comes. This is the day the Lord opens the door for me. This is the day that God sets me up an audience with the people I need to talk to. Friend, I'm going to tell you what. Men are going to give under your bosom, but it's probably not going to be a total stranger. God's going to set up an interview with you for somebody. God's going to set you up somewhere where you meet the right person. You need to get up in the morning and say, all right now, I'm not looking back. I'm looking forward because this is the day of my recompense of reward. And praise God, it's about to happen. It's going to be unfolded today. It's going to be revealed today. God is going to do something for me that I've been looking for and longing for all of my life. Number three, the reason why we always look forward is we anticipate the harvest. Did you know that the harvest is one of the main things in God's heart? He talks about it throughout the Word of God. He talks about harvest. He warns us about harvest. He said, those that fear and those that look to the clouds and the wind, he said, they don't sow seed because they're always in doubt. God takes a personal displeasure in people that doubt the harvest. God wants you to live every day of your life like you are anticipating the harvest. Friend, I sow seed every day, every way I possibly can. Financially, spiritually, prayer, trying to help me. What are you doing? I'm sowing seed. Why? Because I have a great anticipation of the harvest. I live with the theory, no matter how good it's going to be, it's going to get better. The harvest is always going to get bigger. The harvest is always going to be better. This woman simply did not believe that where God was taking her was going to be greater than where she had been. She had to look back because Sodom was as good as it was ever going to get in her mind. Friend, I can promise you right now that what God has planned for you is greater than anything you've ever known. And God takes tremendous displeasure when you doubt the harvest. He wants you to anticipate the harvest, praise God. I know the Lord's blessed you, Pastor Mandy, but praise God, you need to start saying, my book sales are going to be bigger. I'm going to hit the mother load. I'm going to write a book that everybody wants, praise God. I don't know what your life is or what your calling is or what your ministry is, but every one of you are special in the Lord. There is nobody in this building that's God's accident. Every one of you were created by God. God put something in every one of you that's special and unique, and you need to realize God is bringing that to fruition, and you need to anticipate the harvest of your life and say 2019 is the year I'm going to write a song that's going to shock the nation. The year 2000, I'm going to have an invention that is going to shock the business world. God's going to promote. You need to anticipate the harvest. If you anticipate the harvest, you know what? You'll always be looking forward. Oh, you'll never look back. You won't have regret for what didn't happen. You won't have that spirit that says, oh, I wish I could get back to another day. You'll always say, thank God I live right where I live, and thank God for what's about to happen in my life, because it is going to eclipse anything the Lord has ever done in my life before. Praise God. I don't want to look back. I don't want to look back. Oh, I wished I could be 21 again. That ain't going to happen, honey. You ain't never going to be 21. You ain't never going to be 39 again. You ain't never going to be 59 again. Quit looking back. Because there is something ahead of you that if you're looking back, you'll walk blindly by what's there. My daddy told me when I first started driving a car, he said, son, the first accident that you'll ever have will be going backwards. And he was right. The first accident I ever had was in a 1966 Ford pickup that he had bought brand new, just got it. And I made the back of that thing look like a horseshoe. You can still drive. I remember driving up and said, Dad, you need to come out here and look at this truck. And he didn't say a word. Oh, I wanted him to say something. I wanted him to say, you stupid idiot. He didn't say a word. I just kept thinking, what he thinks is so bad he can't even say it. But the point is, I did it going backwards. The biggest mistakes you'll ever make is going backwards. You need to look forward to what God has got for you. This is just the second day of January. You got 363 days ahead of you, praise God. And some of you tomorrow on Thursday, you're going to wake up to what is a normal day. And before the sun sets, something wonderful is going to happen in your life. And you're going to realize that this is the omen of the Lord for what he intends to do for me this year. Praise God. He is going to cause things that have been in my spirit and in my heart and in my mind for a long time. They've been in there conceiving and incubating, but praise God, they're coming to birth in 2019. I'm going to get the job. I'm going to get the house. I'm going to have the marriage. I'm going to have the ministry. I'm going to live where God said I could live. I'm going to do what I've always knew that God called me to do, and I'm not looking back. Who knows? She might have heard her son-in-law's calling her back. You've got to avoid people that want to draw you back. I've told this story so many times, but some of you don't remember it. Probably most of you don't remember it. But when I first started church in San Antonio, we had this little church over on Ridgewood Street. We had to put new lights in the sanctuary. And I got this friend. He was in the Austin in church in Austin. And he was an older man, and his wife, she was older. And they just got married the last few years because he had quite a story. He'd been a very successful electrical contractor in Michigan. He put the lights on all the freeways and the parks, and I mean major. He had like hundreds of trucks in the state of Michigan. He had a beautiful wife, and as fast as he'd make it, she would spend it. And she finally spent him into bankruptcy and then divorced him. And he became a street person in Austin, Texas. And we witnessed to him on the streets of Austin, and he came to church and got gloriously saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. and he never set his goals very high again. He said, I don't want an electrical company again. I don't want to be a millionaire again. He said, this was in 1975. He said, I need $200 a week to live. That's all I want. That's all he would accept. It didn't matter how much work he did. You could only give him $200. That's it. You could pay for the equipment. $200. That was it. He was a wonderful man. And he married this old Pentecostal woman. She'd been in the church a long time. Her husband had died. And they got along tremendously and wonderfully and just great, wonderful people. And I was 25 and they were 65 or 70. But they liked me. They loved me like a son. And she said to me while he was working on the lights and she was sitting in the church pew, I just starting the church. It was tough, folks. We didn't have no money. Didn't have no people, 30, 40 people. She said, Brother Steve, you're the greatest preacher I ever heard. When you're 25 years of age, not only do you want to hear it, you'll actually believe that. And unless your name is T.D. Jakes, don't believe that. But she said, you're too big for this little church. God's got big things in store. She said, when you came to Austin, nobody's ever preached in our church that did what you did. You need to go back into, said, you need to go back in. And the devil had tried so many things to discourage me in that church, and he never was able to do that. But that woman sucked me right back into preaching in those big churches, because I was preaching in churches back in those days. 1,000 people was a big church back in the 70s. And now I'm preaching to like 30 people, Brother Warren. And so she sucked me right back in that. And you know what I did shortly? I got up and resigned that church and put a friend in my church, and I left. Why? Because this wonderful, sweet, godly lady caused me to look back instead of look forward. I should have looked forward and saw this building and you right now. But I didn't. I looked back to their building and somebody in my past. And so I made a mistake that lasted 2 years almost before I came back and resumed this church. The point is this. You got to look forward. And you can't let the devil cause you to look back. But if you're really a spiritual, godly person, it's probably not going to be the devil with a pitchfork and a red suit that does it. It's probably going to be one of your best friends or your spiritual mentors or your preacher or your brother or your sister. Doesn't mean they're demon-possessed. It just means the devil found somebody that he had influence in your life that he could use to cause you to look back. And if he can get you looking back, you will miss what's in front of you. And I can tell this church as a corporate body, and I can tell you as a faithful child of God, that what is before you is greater than that which is behind you. And so I beg of you, set your sights for 2019 and let it become what God wants it to be in your life. Would you stand on your feet and give God some praise? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. There's somebody in this building right now that you are just days and weeks away from the greatest experience and the greatest opportunity you've ever had. And let me tell you this. The closer you get to the goal that is before you, the more pressure the adversary puts on you to cause you to look back. Because more than anything, the devil does not want you to succeed at the abundance that God has planned for you. And so if you feel that pressure on you going into the first days of this new year, it's because you are about to embrace the perfect plan of God for your life, and the devil is doing everything he can to cause you to turn around and look back. But I challenge you right now, if you realize you're on the verge of the door swinging open of the opportunity manifesting, of the person coming into your life that you need. If you realize you're on the verge of that, instead of looking back, I challenge you to get out of your chair right now and walk down to this aisle and say, I am looking forward and I see what God has said and He's prepared for me, and praise God, I'm not going to glance back not one second this year. I'm going to embrace the plan of God for my life. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to realize God spared you for a reason. God spared you for a reason. God spared my life for a reason. And praise God, I'm embracing it in the name of the Lord Jesus. My sister, I just speak in the Holy Ghost to you right now that you